Well, good morning. What a blessing it is to be here at Waterworks again and to worship together with you. As I looked at the Sunday school lesson, and I try my best to always make sure I'm not preaching the same message as we studied in Sunday school, but I looked at the lesson and I said, that is a lot of good stuff in there. And it goes along with what I was planning to share this morning. The title that I preached last Sunday or 2 weeks ago in Shenandoah was A Call to Suffer. And from the Bible. And Brian is preaching, he's reading the book Sidetracked, and we're planning to do the Winter Bible School study on the book written by Gary Miller, Sidetracked. I didn't read that yet, but it's on my list, and we're planning to study that, but he's saying it's a must read. And with the environment we're living in today, It is important to think about who we are, why we're here, and where we're going, and fulfill God's plan, and to be effective in our Christian lives today. And so I'm reading a book, Pilgrims and Politics, and yeah, it's a must read as well. But just studying a little bit about American history. And primarily the Puritan influence that was eye-opening for me. I'm not sure how many of you would be able to say a lot about the Puritan influence. And I can't say a lot, but I was appalled at what the Puritans, so the Pilgrims came first, and the Puritans outnumbered them. They were the, came after them, and they believed that they were the new Israel, America. And I was like, wow, reading that all the covenants of the Old Testament were passed on to America. And that's important to watch for that. And I spot it still today, Puritan influence. And so they went to the Old Testament law, and you might remember the Salem witch trial, that was carried out by the Puritans. In the Old Testament, witches were to be burned. And so that's, they felt that that was God's will. And very much a mixture of God and country, and just not really at all what we would believe. And practice as we understand who we are in New Testament and Old Testament. It's very important to have a clear line and understand God's purposes for the nations. And we studied that in our Sunday school lesson. God worked through nations and a nation to bring about the Redeemer into the world. And redemption came through a nation in the Old Testament. And, of course, the Jewish people were a privileged people but did not carry out the plan of God in perfection. And they suffered. And New Testament Christianity, God set up the kingdom. And in the book of Acts, we have something powerful happening in the book of Acts. There was a change. And there was the kingdom of God being born and the Spirit of God being poured out upon believers and people getting radically saved and hearing anointed preaching. And I'm going to be sharing from Peter this morning and the book of Peter, and I had to think, I say this carefully, but if God would allow for Peter and Paul to come back in our day today and just see American culture and the way we're living today, and would we all be okay with having them up here and just, I want to hear from you, Peter, about our day today, and what would he say? And Paul, the books that we read. And I'm saying that because we live in different times. And I'm not trying to, I thank God for the times we're living in, but there's a different set of challenges that we have in our day today. And yes, the call to suffering is very real in the Bible, and you're going to hear me preach from the Word of God the best that I can and as clear as I can, but I'll be very clear with you. This man that's preaching this morning doesn't know what he's talking about. You say, well, you're probably not going to listen to me now, because I haven't experienced what I'm going to be preaching about. And I'm going to be very honest about that. And I'm guessing all of you would be in the same place. We don't know what we're talking about. Let's just be honest. That's the days we're living in different times, and what Peter and Paul were living in. But God has a plan. He is faithful in these days. We can be the children of God in these days. We can stand up in these days and be faithful. So the two things, I appreciated our Sunday school lesson. The two things that were takeaways, and in my mind as I read it, I try to pick out memorable things, but in that text I see Michael standing up. I love that. In behalf of the people, and all of them are delivered. So I love that. Take that and just let that in your mind. And the second one from the text in our Sunday school lesson, all those that turn people to righteousness will be shining like the stars forever. Take that one and just let yourself shine like a star forever. Be part of this group that is turning people to righteousness in those days. So there's just a lot of good, encouraging thoughts in our Sunday school lesson. So now a call to suffer, and I'm going to start with just one verse, then we're going to 1 Peter 4, but it's a familiar verse that it says in 2 Timothy, Paul said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All people. So this call to suffering is for our day today. And I read that and can identify with that type of suffering. And I hope that you can identify. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus. If you are passionate about the Lord, you want to be all that you can be for Jesus in these days, you want to stand no matter if everyone else is going into the world, no matter what is going on, you will stand for the Lord in these days, then you'll be able to identify to a degree suffering for Jesus Christ, persecution. And it's because you're living godly. It's because you're open to the Lord and you read the Word of God with an open mind and an open heart, and you really are passionate about truth and you're really excited about a life for the Lord, and you'll say, I will do no matter what, I will follow the Word of the Lord and the will of the Lord in our day. And so there will come a level of persecution. I've had some of it to a degree. I've had people in my face ripping up a tract and saying, you can have this. And that's a level of persecution. And I stand and I say, Jesus said, blessed are you if men shall revile you and persecute you. And so that's a level of persecution. Maybe standing alone because you have a conviction, or you've been asked by God to do something and you somewhat stand alone. Whatever it might be, I hope that all of you can identify to a degree with persecution in that way, because we're living godly and because we're committed to the Lord no matter what. And in the times in which we live, there is more and more antagonism and people that are hardened toward the Lord and towards God. So all will suffer persecution. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, where I want to use these verses from Peter. And Peter is a book of, the theme of Peter's books are persecution, and he understood it. He was He was very passionate for the Lord, and he was very interested in being a disciple of the Lord and suffering. He wrote about it. He was willing. He was one who, by his own request, he wanted to be crucified upside down. Well, that's amazing. He said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. And he's, upon his own request, was willing. And he said, please put me upside down on the cross and let me die upside down. And you say, wow, what a man. That's why I say I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know that level of persecution. And I hope that I would be faithful if asked to die in that way. But Peter here says in the first verse, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So there we have the first call in chapter 4, verse 1 is arm yourselves with this mind. So what I'm trying to do in my weakness and humility to open up the scriptures and let's just see what Peter is calling us to. And he's saying, as we look at Christ's suffering and as we look at the call to suffering, arm yourselves with the same mind. So this morning, let's gird up the loins of our mind and let's think about suffering here and what Christ suffered for us, and then arm yourselves with the same mind. Talking about American history, and I think one of the things that we have to guard against is this mindset of entitlement. If the Puritan influence and the mind of the Puritans was that they are and America is the new Israel, of course you would have this entitlement mindset. And all the covenants of Israel and the Old Testament land of Israel are passed on to America. There's people that believe that, and that's why this mindset is so strong, this influence, that we are entitled this lifestyle because we're the new Israel and the covenants of God rest upon. Now, I'm very careful to point out the fact that, yes, God did bless this land, and God does have a plan for this land, and a lot of Christianity did rise up out of this land, and a lot of good things did happen here, and God is interested in what happens here as well as all over the world. But what I'm pointing out is that we must guard against, like what we read in Daniel. What did we read in Daniel this morning? There's times such as never were before. Could that really happen to United States of America? And I say that very carefully, but I'm trying to gird up the loins of our mind and think according to Christ suffered and the way that Christ suffered, that we are to arm ourselves with that same mind. Be ones who will stand for truth in these days. And it says that Jesus, in Philippians 2, it says Jesus did not think it was robbery being equal with God. He took upon himself the form of a servant. So Jesus was a servant. He made of himself no reputation. He was called all kinds of evil names, and he was called a wine bibber and all kinds of things that they said about Jesus. He did not guard his reputation, and that's hard to do living in this evil, sinful world. Yesterday, I had the topic at Keystone Workshops, and my title was Demonstrating Peace in a Violent and Angry World. And how do we live peaceably in this world? Just this last week in town, I was told by somebody that you're really not as holy as you crack yourself up to be. And I was just taken back by that, and that was a good challenge for me. I'm not as holy as I crack myself up to be or talk about. I'm a little more holy in my talk than my lifestyle. And And this was in a tenant-landlord relationship, so you can figure the rest out there. But times like that, Jesus made himself no reputation. They said bad things about him, and he lived it out. He lived a life of righteousness, and that stands. He was obedient unto death. We're talking about the mind of Christ and how Jesus came all the way down. He took the greatest step down from the highest heavens all the way down. He took the greatest step down, and he was willing to humble himself and become a servant. He was obedient all the way till death. And therefore, there was given him a name which is above every name. So Jesus is now exalted because he was willing to live a life of obedience to the will of the Father. He is now exalted, and he is sitting on the right hand of the Father, exalted. So, the mind of Christ, the way up is down. The way to exaltation is humility. So those that are willing to humble themselves and take the step down and go all the way down till you're empty of yourself and completely finished with yourself, all the way down, and then God will bring you up. The world and the church at large today does not want that message. We want all these blessings without death to self and all those things. But that is the mind of Christ. Jesus suffered, and he took the greatest step down as an example for everyone who wants to live faithfully to the Lord. That is the way. Taking the steps down and letting God bring you up and build the life of God within you. There is a connection to the life of sin here with suffering, and it says, "For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Does that mean that we have to suffer in order to put an end to the life of sin? Well, if you look at the verse, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution," I believe we need to really look at the commitment level of our Christianity and the commitment level that we have when we say yes to Jesus Christ. We are saying no to the world. We're saying no to sin. It does not mean that we put an end to sin completely at the foot of the cross, but that work within us, sin is dying, and we are living a new life. But I believe when suffering comes to this greatest degree, as Peter was writing, when you suffer in the flesh, there is a point that we come to that we are fed up with sin. And that's what I want to highlight here. We are fed up with sin, and we are willing to crucify the flesh, as it says in Galatians chapter 5. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." So we are putting to death the flesh and sins and the affections and lusts, and we're saying yes to God, and we're dead. We're considered dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Now, we are interested in the will of God, and we're finished with our old life, the old man. We're crucified with Christ. I believe there's a picture of this in Romans chapter 6. The old man is crucified. In Romans chapter 6, you have those that were saying the grace of God, preaching a cheap grace, which we have a lot of that today. An easy believism gospel. Just come to Jesus and the grace of God covers it all. And they were saying, if you sin, the more you sin, the more grace comes. So this is just an easy way. All your sin, and no matter what your sins are, the more you sin, the more the grace of God comes. But Paul says there, God forbid. That's the wrong mind. That is not the mind of Christ. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're crucified with Christ. The old man is crucified. We're buried with Christ through baptism, and then we are resurrected with Christ, and we're now living in the power of the resurrection. We have a new resurrected life. And so that's, I believe, there's a connection there to suffering. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. If you come to Christ, you must also be able to identify with the crucifixion of Christ, identify with the burial where Jesus was buried, and also identify with the resurrection where we are resurrected with Christ. So we have died, we've been buried, and we're resurrected, and now we're walking this new life in Christ. And when we get there, we have that experience, yes, we're fed up with sin. We want to turn our back on the life of sin. We have to have this experience. And yes, we're willing to walk and suffer with Christ if called to suffer. Following the will of God in your life is connected here as well. We're no longer living after our own flesh, to the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. Now we have died to ourselves, and Jesus is not only our Savior, but our Lord. Jesus rules upon the throne of our heart as Lord, and he has the right to direct our path, and the will of God is different for everyone. And I like to picture a Christian is surrendered to the Lord and Jesus sitting upon the throne of their heart. And every day you wake up and every day you live, you learn to wake up and you say, yes, God, what do you want me to do today? You're living your life within the will of the Lord, and it's different for everyone. We're all called to serve in different ways. God leads and directs all of us in different ways, but every one of us must surrender our lives to the will of God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Glorify your name through me today. Speak to someone through me today. Follow the will of the Lord and the will of God for your life. The next one is bearing the strange look of the world. Verse 4, it says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. How many of you can identify with that? The strange look of the world. We are strange and peculiar because we're Christians. The world cannot understand why a genuine believer separates himself from the world. And there's certain things that we do not feel comfortable being involved in. There's practices and pleasures of the world that we must turn away from. We are intent in guarding our hearts and minds and our eyes from what we see. A genuine believer gives all he has into spreading the gospel all around the world. There's many things that a genuine believer that is surrendered to the Lord will be looking strange, and our lives will be different. When we moved into Shenandoah, that was an experience that many years ago, but everyone in the town was really had all their eyes on this new family. We were right in the middle of everything, and it was good for us. It was good for us to give answers. Who are you? Are you Mennonite, or are you Amish? Or they began to look at us in a peculiar way. These people are different. Yes, they would ask us many times, you know, are you, what's the difference between a Mennonite and an Amish? And you know, we began to understand the importance of showing them that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the life that we live is really different, and it is really strange, and we are different people, but we make no apologies. If we're living for the Lord, I want to stand out in that way, and I don't want you to really see a Mennonite or an Amish, but I want you to see Jesus. I make no apologies of being identified with the Mennonites and understanding Menno Simons and the Anabaptists, and I am very grateful for our heritage, but I really want to be identified with this life, arming myself with the mind of Christ, and I'm here because Jesus moved me here, and our family is here because Jesus asked us to move here, and we're about you becoming connected to Jesus Christ, and I want the whole world to know about this wonderful story of salvation. I'm here because Jesus wants me to be here. And we look strange. We are strange. We are strangers and pilgrims. And we should stand out, not because just the way we dress. That's one part that we stand out. But if that's the only way you stand out, that is empty, if that's the only way. But if your life is transformed and being transformed and is a light to the world, that is just one part. It's a very important part. But I don't want all the world to only see that in my life and my family. But we want to be able to go to the Bible and understand and explain the reasons why we don't participate in certain things, the reason why we're a bit uncomfortable with certain things. And you know, it's been hard for me to sort through all of that. There's some things maybe I am overreacting to. One of them was the Shenandoah football team is the mascot is the Blue Devils, and you know, when we moved in there, I just was really reacting to that. And every football player that joins the team, they put a Blue Devils mascot on the street or the sidewalk in front of their home. And my neighbor was, his son was joining the football team, and he told me there's going to be a demon right next door. And so it's, you know, you're probably just reacting a little bit to that too. I don't really want to come outside of my house and see a demon every morning. And we had some good conversations about that. And I said, well, you know, I'm a soldier of the cross. And I want to see Jesus every morning, not a demon in front of my house. And one Sunday morning, I was at church preaching. And it was the time they went through the town to paint the demons. And they did it while I was at church. And I came home. And lo and behold, they got the wrong house. And they put it right in front of my house. Thankfully, it was on the street. So now I'm just like, what is everybody going to think when they come to my house? I'm really a fake now. I'm not as holy as I cracked myself up to be. There's a demon right there. And I said, no. I have no involvement in this. And I didn't go down to the school and say, you got to change that and take it away. And I said, Lord, it seemed the Lord told me that every time you come out of your house and you look at that, you are reminded that you are a soldier of Jesus Christ, and you can pray against that. And this is real. This is the battle that you are fighting. Let that be a reminder that the devil is alive and well, and there's demonic forces everywhere. So it's a reminder for me, and that's what I did. And so sometimes we look a little strange, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to be intimidated by a devil painted in front of my house because I'm living right in it. And Jesus can be exalted. And so in our Sunday school lesson, what did we see? Michael standing up. We see Jesus as king. We know who we are. So we look strange, and we bear the strange look of the world, but we make no apologies for that. Why would you be ashamed of Jesus Christ and who you are in Jesus Christ? And let that testimony stand. And you know what? Today that demon has faded away. I drove over that as much as I could. I thought I'm going to just see if I can burn a little rubber and just take that off a little faster, but I didn't do that. But today it's gone, and now I'm reminded the devil's fading away, and there's one day it's going to be over, but the kingdom of God will stand forever. Amen? It'll stand, and so we must stand on that and be assured of that in these days in which we live. Arm yourselves with that mind. Even though we cannot understand a life of suffering to that degree, we can in the Christian life in which we live. The next point is live so seriously and soberly. We should bear the strange look of the world. We do not run with them to the same excess of riot, but live soberly. It says in verse 7 that the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So have a mind that is serious and sound, living soberly. I think of many people that are just going through life, and they're blinded. And I think that's the way it's going to be. The Christians are not living in the night. We are children of the day. So that day will not come upon us unawares. It says in, is that Romans or is that 1 Thessalonians 5? It is 1 Thessalonians 5. We are children of the day. And this day will not come upon us as children of the night. So you have children of the night and children of the day. And the difference is they're going on in sinful pleasures. They're blinded. And this day will come upon them suddenly, unexpectedly, unprepared. They'll be unprepared. But the Christians who are serious and sober in their mind, we're studying the scriptures and we're in tune with God. And so this day will not come upon us as a thief in the night, it says, because we are children of the day and we have a sober mind, a mind that is serious. We're not laughing at all the foolish, dirty jokes of the world. We don't go along with that, but we have a serious mind and we are connected to God and we allow God to speak to our minds. The end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch unto prayer. Make sure that your prayer life is alive and that you're in the Word of God and that you have a sober, sound mind that is the mind of Christ. It is arming yourself with the mind of Christ. The next one that's very important in this chapter is fervent charity. It's in this text in verse 8, above all things. I'm not sure why he says above all. Arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. Be prepared for suffering. Don't run with all the Gentiles and bear the strange look of the world. But above it all, have fervent charity, because charity will cover a multitude of sins. Now, that does not mean that charity and true love here at Waterworks and Shenandoah, that you can just go on with all the sin you want and keep on sinning, and charity is just going to cover it. That's not what he's saying here, but fervent charity will just take care of a lot of small things. Maybe someone said a word against you that was not so nice. Ever happen to you? Someone say something that, that one hurt a little bit. Charity just kind of takes care of a lot of those things. That's what this verse says, fervent charity, where we learn to love and practice love. And this is a challenge. This is a challenge to allow fervent charity to be active and in a church, and it's going to take care of a lot of sins or mistakes. Maybe you could say it mistakes or hurts or whatever it might be. There is a time when things need to be talked about, when hurts go deep. I'm not saying that charity just covers it all and we can just go on carelessly in our relationships, but charity covers a lot of it. And there are times when things do need to be talked out. Confrontations do need to happen. But charity takes care of a multitude. The last one that I have here is standing up under the fiery trials of persecution, and that is from verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Do not think it strange if a trial comes your way that is unexpected. That's what Peter is saying here. Think it not strange or out of God's reach to allow a trial to come, and a fiery trial. A fiery trial is one that's hard. There's trials. I think James talks about count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. There's many of them, but here we're looking at a fiery one. One that's really hot, or you go through the fire, and it's one that you do not even understand where it came from, what God is doing, why you're going through this. Do not think it strange if something like that would happen to you. Let's not take the easy mind, easy believism that come to God and everything's going to be taken care of. You'll never go through another trial. Don't take that mindset, but do not think it strange that if this happens to you, or you would go through a time in your life where it's difficult and circumstances come your way, whatever it might be, the purpose of a fiery trial that God allows is to try you. It says here it's to try you, and it may seem to you like something strange is going on. I don't understand it. It might be sickness. It might be death or whatever it is, a friend, a relative. And it can be trials of all kinds, but ones that are really hard to understand, really hard to go through. God is up to something in your life. That's what Peter is saying here. Arm your mind with the mind of Christ. Open your mind to that, and God works in that way. He is not against us. He's for us. He allows us to go through the fires to purify us. Those refining fires are very hard, very real, but the product, God is interested in pure gold. God is interested in a church that's alive and pure. God is interested in your life being effective, and God wants to be glorified in your life. So if you're going through a trial, or if you go through a trial, think it not strange. Connect your life with God and keep on doing his commandments, committing your souls, as it says in verse 19, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So Peter lays it on. And I think if Peter was able to come here and speak to us this morning, I think he'd say, prepare yourself. I think he would say that Christians throughout all the ages, and especially in the early church, did not live like you're living today. I'm not sure what he would say in addition. But what I'm saying to you this morning, according to the scriptures, just arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. Let's not give room for the entitlement mindset where we're entitled peace and prosperity, or we're entitled a good life because we're the new Israel. No, we're not. America, God's kingdom does not depend upon the United States of America, although I appreciate living here and I appreciate the blessings that we've enjoyed. Let's make sure we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. No matter what we live through in our days, God is faithful. Michael's standing up in behalf of his people. The Lord Jesus is sitting upon his throne, exalted. He cares about the church. He cares about our lives. There is nothing we'll be asked to go through that his grace will not be sufficient. And so let's stand up with that strong faith in the days in which we live and be faithful to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. The scriptures in Daniel, the prophecies of Daniel, and then the New Testament, where Peter writes from experience an exhortation to the church and to our day. Pray that we would all open up our minds to the mind of Christ, to program our minds according to truth, and as Romans says, a renewed mind, that we can prove what is good and acceptable in your sight. I pray that we would be Christians in our day who are living our lives upon the altar, totally surrendered to the Lord, dead to ourselves but alive unto you, dead to the world but alive unto righteousness, and be effective in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, and in our churches. Lord, just bless us abundantly today and in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for a closing song, if we could have a closing song.